Warning, the following ASO Radio episode contains dark and twisted content. Those light of heart and those light-hearted would most likely not get the full enjoyment of this ASO Radio episode. Those, however, who enjoy dark humor will enjoy it quite thoroughly. So viewer discretion is strongly advised. This is your final warning, and now you have been warned.
All right, on this week's show, we have with us the acclaimed Digimon tamer, Randy Beach, and he is going to be telling us about what it is like to be a Pokemon, Digimon, you said?
Much more proper is Digimon, yes.
Yes, a Digimon trainer of sorts, and about his pet, personal favorite Digimon of his, Dory Mesa Mongo Mon. How about you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your past, Mr. Sands?
My name is James Sands, like you said, and I come from a small town in Japan. I got into Digimon when I was a little kid. My dad had like a little Tamagotchi, and I was like, wow, this is cool.
The Tamagotchi, of course, being a very popular early digital pet toy in Japan.
Yes. And I went into computers trying to create Digimon, and I got sucked into what many people call the digital world.
Yes, I hear that is a very high risk among high school students and junior high students these days.
It is a very high risk. I've met a couple of them, and they are very immature for most of them.
Yes, now, something interesting of note here that Dory Mesa Mongo Mon, your personal favorite of the lot, although his name might lead one to believe otherwise, he's actually quite a vicious carnivore, and I heard that he ripped your brother asunder, and the only evidence you could really find was a patch of stained grass with his DNA within the blood.
That's true. We were out on a hill one day. I went to go get some meat for Dory Mesa Mongo Mon, because I knew he was hungry, and by the time I got back, only my Digimon was there. I didn't know what happened.
And so what sort of meats do this variety of Digimon actually typically eat, as I imagine that human isn't their usual course?
No, usually like venison of like the snake or the elk kind, but sometimes when it's really hungry, it'll just gobble a person right up.
Have you had any other family losses or injuries as a result of your Digimon raising with Dory Mesa Mongo Mon, or possibly any of the other Digimon? Or
Dory Mesa Mongo Mon tried to actually bite my hand one time.
And how do you correct the Digimon when it acts up?
Well, first I yell at it, and then I have this little cell that I have. We go put it in the... It is completely dark in there. And
a sensory deprivation. Then.
Yes, and it's like a hypnotic thing. I brainwash it. This is where I tell it's bad and how it needs to listen to my voice. And
now, this being a digital world, is it possible to bring in magnets? And if so, does that affect it in any way?
You know, I haven't actually tried. It's been theorized, and I think it would work, but I'm not sure of the consequences, and I think I'm going to get to that eventually. It's just I have to do it.
Possibly used as an extreme form of correction for upstart Digimon in the future, perhaps?
Yeah, that might happen.
All right, now I hear that you're having Flowery Puffymon being displayed in an upcoming Digimon show. Could you tell us some of the preparations involved in going and making Digimon such as that ready to be show quality?
Well, one of the things that we have to do is one of the things I'm doing to get it ready is I'm actually taking a fighting against Pokemon.
That must be quite interesting. I don't imagine it's used to fighting that sort of creature.
It has more of the advantages than Pokemon does, because the Pokemon is just caught unaware. And the trainers thereof will use their little computer things, and they can't find anything about my Digimon.
Very interesting. Now, these Digimon... Now, I, from what I understand, me, of course, only being a radio host, and you know, we have to consider all things on here, of course. Now, the Digimon, though, I understand, have a rudimentary knowledge of human language, actually.
Yes, they do.
And how exactly does that work? How adept are they at communicating?
It depends on the different Digimon.
Mm-hmm.
I have some that actually have a better vocabulary than I do.
Impressive.
Yes. I think it just comes from the digital world and their root programming, but...
Hmm.
That's just my thought on it.
Very interesting. Now, since there's shows for Digimon, are there also shows to show off their vernacular prowess?
Yes, there are. They actually have... I don't remember. My Digimon aren't so much the intellectual type. They're more of the going out and fighting and showing off type.
I see.
So,
now, being that these Digimon have rudimentary knowledge of English, it appears to be, at least when they dub themselves in English, how does the Digimon themselves feel about going into these violent conflicts?
Once again,
and do yours actually differ from other Digimon in that respect?
It's sort of like how humans have their own personalities. Some
mm-hmm.
like the confrontations and the conflicts, and how others are more reserved. Mine, they actually love the conflicts. They're
mm-hmm.
quite ferocious, and at times I feel bad for other trainers because their Digimon get torn to pieces.
Yes, that could be quite horrific from the sounds of it.
Yes.
All right, well, we're almost out of time here on All Anime Considered, and so let me wrap this up with a bit of a more base question, if you will, and sensitive viewers may wish to turn the radio down for the last couple of seconds of the show. Now, of course, being a Digimon tamer, is that the correct
yes.
terminology, tamer? I understand, of course, that you must need to breed new Digimon
mm-hmm.
on occasion. Go ahead and more or less make your Digimon a buck and breed. And I wonder, does their ability to speak affect the ability to go and block that out, I might say?
Yeah, we could say it does. I'm not exactly sure how to answer that, but...
Well, I mean, do the Digimon cry out things like people?
Yes, but sometimes... Well, most of the time, I just put them in that dark room that I was telling you about, and...
Well, it doesn't sound like there's much room in there at all. Have they been very successful at procreating?
Okay. I'm not a very good tamer when it comes to the procreating part. I just beat them into submission.
So then do you discipline your Digimon for not correctly breeding?
Yes. Yes.
That sounds like it could be quite horrible.
It is, actually. I'm a very horrible man.
Oh, well, I suppose that is your take on yourself, and this, you know, is a show, of course, open to that. So, one more question, we can squeeze it in here real quick. Does the fact that they are digital creations change the way that they act versus regular ones, such as in their eating habits, their breeding habits, their ability to get along in general as a society of sorts?
Actually, what happens quite often is I'll hook them up to my computer and sort of play with their programming.
Mm. Kind of like some sort of mad Dr. Monroe going and creating horrible chimeras out of humans and people. But,
exactly.
In a digital way.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's been a horrifying pleasure to have you on the show today, Mr. Sands. And hopefully we can do this again at a point that doesn't happen.
Okay.
This is Anime Public Radio. Do-do-do.
Those clever engineers.
But yeah.
It's time for ASO Radio.
Okay, well, welcome. Welcome to ASO Radio. And for those sensitive viewers out there, I apologize for our rather dark funny this week. A little bleak there, you know, but I think that's the harsh reality of Digimon, really. And so, anyways, this is NZ17.
NGB3.
Bringing you episode 64 of ASO Radio. Now, DB3, interesting fact here, second to last episode of the season. Is that not wild or what?
That is quite wild.
Yes, I know. And at the time of this recording, I got about 3 episodes to mix up. So, I really ought to get to that, put up some new episodes. Anyways, we've got a, I don't want to say a heck of a show for you this week, because, to be quite honest, the news this week flows. I mean, it's just really tempest.
It's almost as boring as our funny was.
Yes. Yes, our anime public radio.
Yes.
Anyways, this week, though, we are reviewing a very good anime. Actually, 6 different anime, if you want to get technical. It's 6 different OAV episodes of Ramna One Half.
Ramna. Yay.
And get this, we have a hot spot this episode. Is that mind-blowing or what?
A hot spot.
A hot spot.
That's so hot.
Oh, yes, it is sizzling. We have a hot spot video game review of
Dragon Ball Z Goku's Legacy.
Ah, for the Game Boy Advance.
For the Game Boy Advance.
Ah, yes. So it's going to be an action-filled snoozer of a show. It's going to be a sleeper hit. But without much further ado, or a don't, we now move on to the anime news.
And now it's time for the Any O'Clock Anime News.
Okay, well, this next segment, we start off with a news bit telling a follow-up to last week's episode. Apparently, the International Channel will also be broadcasting the following titles that they have acquired from Central Park Media. The Record of Lotus War OAV, The Record of Lotus War Chronicles of the Heroic Knight, Black Deck, Now and Then, Here and There, Patlabar the Mobile Force, the original series, Patlabar Mobile Force the TV series, Project Echo, and Descendants of Darkness. I can only hope that Project Echo is the OAV and not the horrific television series with heavy lesbian overtones.
Let's just pray for that.
Yes.
Because it's on the International Channel. We don't want to degrade it any.
True. And you know, speaking of praying, it appears many Final Fantasy fans' prayers have been answered, DB3.
Yes, Square Enix recently sent out a press release saying that Escape Side Final Fantasy concert series will be kicking off in Chicago on the 19th of February. So, far...
No other dates or cities have been mentioned. So I imagine we're going to have high ticket sale prices for that event and all of its following succession. Also, for those people that like Fruits Basket and ASO staff happens to be one group that does, Tokyo Pop has announced a new manga release exclusive to Borders and Walden Books. Both of those chains, by the way, are owned by the same company, but I digress. Volume 6 of the Fruits Basket manga, with the art box, which can contain the full 6 volumes of the series, will also contain a DVD including episodes 1 and 2 of the Fruits Basket TV series. Canadian retailers can also order this set through Diamond Distributors, as well as other comics shops across the country.
And Viz is announcing that it's coming out with some special stuff for us. Viz announced in its press release, officially announcing the releases of Legends, Full Metal Alchemist, and Dr. Slump in March and May, June, March, and May, respectively.
Yes, those are the manga.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, shocking news about the only shocking, interesting news this week. You know, I mean, the other news is kind of interesting, but it's just not, you know, important. An America Extra has been canceled.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, Viz has announced that its monthly manga anthology, An America Extra, is to be canceled starting with, or I guess ending with, this issue for December, Volume 7, Issue 12. This is going to be the final issue of An America Extra, but subscribers will receive a prorated refund check in the mail which, of course, prorated, meaning that they will get back the remaining money that would have been spent on the additional issues. No reason has so far been released for the cancellation, and it should be mentioned, though, that Viz is currently publishing Shonen Jump and Animerica, and I believe Shonen Jump probably has a good influence on that. Probably it seems pretty low sales of Animerica Extra,
yeah.
Since it seems more or less to be the manga versions of Viz's anime titles, and so it's kind of just like beating a horse with the dead stick, since most of those Viz series are pretty old now.
And talking about Shonen Jump, Viz made the announcement the other day about, which several readers have pointed out, that Viz already started releasing the Ultimate Muscle graphic novels, have been released as the Shonen Jump Advanced titles since this summer. Eye Shield 21, Hunter x Hunter, and Eyes, therefore, will not be the first Shonen Jump Advanced titles.
Yes, Shonen Jump. I don't know much about that, but it sounds as though Shonen Jump Advanced can be very exciting. We'll just have to wait and see. And our last bit of news is a good bit of news for fans of Ghost in the Shell, but it's not just for them, although their news is the best news of the lot. This is actually a roundup of some Cartoon Network Adult Swim news. Apparently, the administrator for the Adult Swim forum, who goes by the handle of Swim Buddha, has posted the following announcements to the official Adult Swim message forum. Cyberpunk goodness never stops. Ghost in the Shell, second gig, will begin airing in fall of 2005, but it also announced that Inuyasha premieres will resume 3 days a week, starting January 10th at 12 a.m., which several people, of course, love that series. And for those that would like a giggle, please visit our Inuyasha 1/4 parody. starting February 12th, Full Metal Alchemist will move up a half an hour in its time to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, of course, taking Ghost in the Shell alone, standalone complex also half an hour back, so we can all see our anime a little earlier. And lastly, the Super Milk Chan show will migrate to Saturdays and have repeats at 11:30 a.m. So lots of manga all getting together on Saturday on the Cartoon Network. Not incredibly exciting, but I guess worth note at least. You know, I like some of the anime that Cartoon Network shows. The problem I have with it, though, is that the actual Adult Swim content is very disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, all they really do is repeat Family Guy and Futurama, both pretty old series by this point. And they, but outside of that and the anime that they show, all their shows are really lackluster. Mainly just they try to go for offensive jokes, but
yeah,
definitely not funny.
That's, like, I've almost stopped watching the Adult Swim just because of that. Like, they just don't have anything really entertaining.
Yeah, the only thing I watch it for is Full Metal Alchemist, and, you know, I only turn it on when the opening song starts, and I turn it off as the ending song starts, because...
You mean ends?
Huh?
As the ending song ends?
That probably makes more sense.
Yeah.
I just watch it for that, you know. I mute the volume during the commercial, do something else until the show comes back on, because it's just mainly not worth watching. I'm surprised they even show, you know, good shows like, you know, people like Ghost in the Shell too.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's a good show because I don't like it, but they show, you know, quality shows on that channel, and, you know, it's surprising they got any quality shows on it considering the rest of the content.
Yeah.
And even their little eye catches during commercials is just tacky most of the time.
Boring, we could say.
Yeah. Like this episode. Oh, well, we've got an action-packed review for you at least.
It's not a new view, it's not a preview, it's a review. Anime review.
You know, it's a good thing we didn't do if we had to choose one series to do a bleak funny with. It's a good thing that we went and we chose Digimon, because that's fairly lighthearted, fairly upbeat. Could you imagine what a dark funny of Romna 1/2 would have been like? It would have just been a horrible psychologist nightmare. It really would have.
Oh, man. Just think of it, man. I don't even want to think of it. Don't think of it.
But we will think of the classic Romna 1/2 series and its spin-offs, if you will, the OABs. DB3, give us a brief rundown of what we're reviewing this show.
This show, we are reviewing the Romna 1/2 cassette tapes of the 4th, 5th, and 6th cassettes.
Yes, of the OAB collection.
Of the OAB collection.
Because this had 6 different tapes, each with 2 episodes.
Yes.
And what are each of the tapes and the episodes they're in?
The first tape is An Akane to Remember. It's Reawakening Memories Part 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is Ramna One Half, one who over the Kuno's Nest, which includes Team Ramna versus the Legendary Phoenix, and O Curse Eternal of Lost Love, Let My Love Be Forever.
Ah.
And finally, we have Ramna One Half, Faster Kasumi, Kill, 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 which includes Hell Hath No Fury Like Kasumi Scorn.
Which is a very funny one.
And the two Akane's, Ramna, Look At Me, which is one I didn't like so much.
Nah, it's, you know, that's not a bad one, but it's kind of, I don't know, like, not, their spirits weren't fully in it.
Yeah.
But enough of our preview, let's rewind to the first volume, and DB3, if you would be kind enough, would you recap the story, because it's been a while since I saw this one.
Yeah, no problem. It's, Akane to Remember, Reawakening Memories, Part 1 and 2, like I said. It starts off with a news clip of a forest called the
Rio Gonzalo?
Yeah, the Rio Gonzalo forest.
Pretty good for not having seen it a while, eh?
Yeah, I'm impressed. Where there's mythical
Matatoku skills.
I'm impressed, Enzi.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, wait, everyone already knew you did.
Oh, well,
I'm not impressed anymore.
Oh, you flatter me, DB3. Enough of this. Tell us about forgetful friend from childhood.
All right, but her family went there as she was a child, and she got lost, and she was saved by a boy, and he gave her a little whistle and sent her back. And as she got older, she sort of thought it was like a dream, but she always had this little whistle. And then it starts off with the show, and they're doing a story about the Rigu and Saga forest and how they finally have a picture of one of the monsters there. And she's like, I remember this sort of now. And her whole family's like, yeah, you got lost there. And she's remembering things, so she's like, I have to go there and find out that little boy that saved me. So she goes there and she leaves a note to her family, and they all flip out. They're like, she went by herself? Ramna, go stop her!
And he's like, yeah, well, what do you want me to do about it?
And they more or less kick him out.
Yeah.
It's quite
funny. Don't come back till he comes back with her.
Yeah, and she gets to the forest, and it turns out that all the creatures are overgrown animals that have been drinking from a spring of life.
Yeah, it's like giant koalas and giant
platypi.
What are those green ones with the tongue?
Oh, the chameleons.
The chameleons, that was.
Yeah.
They were chameleons?
Yeah, it was a chameleon, I think. Oh.
I didn't know they were the ones with the independent eyes, but I guess I should just stop talking and just think for a change.
And she gets attacked by the platypus, and a guy comes and saves her. What's his name? It's Shinosuke.
Yeah, Shinosuke.
Yeah. He saves her, and
good thing I'm on the show to do the Japanese pronunciations, eh?
Yeah, I'd be in trouble if you weren't, Andy. You're my... Oh, never mind.
Well, you know, I don't even think you do the show if it wasn't for me, so...
That's probably true, too.
Because, you know, we generally just sit here and blah, 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 blah. And, but then, you know, I gotta go back, remix things, upload, take care of the website. It's a lot of work.
I'm glad I leave it to you to do, then.
Well, I'm glad you co-host with me. It'd be a very boring show with only one person. And the silent audience!
That's what I was just about to say.
Well, it's like you're all quiet this week.
Like you've been the last... Oh, wait, you haven't been here the last 2 weeks.
Oh, really? I forgot she's been so quiet. I didn't notice she was here this time.
Okay, sorry. But let me... Yay!
You even know what you're cheering.
Yeah, I don't know what I was going to say.
I'm cheering...
Do you know what we're talking about right now?
Ramna One Half.
Oh, yeah? Which one?
The one with Akane who went to find this boy from her lost memories.
Oh, okay.
Ryoga?
Not Ryoga, the one with the Japanese pronunciation that you had.
Yeah, Ryoga. Ryoga's, you know, from Japan.
No, the one where you had the...
You know, you can see the Pacific Ocean from its west window.
Okay, the pronunciation, sing, and then you guys got all warm and fuzzy on each other. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm sorry to not be so glad you're here. But, yeah. So
okay.
She's actually here this week, believe it or not.
So, yay. But the first episode, she finds out he's dying, and the only reason he's staying alive is because of the spring of life, and...
The moss that grows from
yes.
the spring of life.
Something miraculous happens during this first episode. Akane makes a great meal.
You go.
A delicious meal.
You're joshing me.
No, I'm serious.
No, yeah, you're pulling my leg.
Even Ramna comes like, he wants you to make supper for him again?
Yeah, I think you're just making this up, DB3, regardless of the fact that I've actually watched this several times.
No, it happened. I saw it. I watched it twice even to
wow.
make sure it happened. And she's like, here, Mama, you try it. And he tries it, and he's like, no, I know something's wrong. This actually tastes good. It tastes good.
She probably hits him at that point.
Yeah. No, she actually's like, yeah, see?
Oh,
huh. Yeah.
Well, it's good to know eventually she accepts the fact that she has overcooking.
Yeah. But
here's the whole point. I mean, she's trying to improve.
Her and Mama have a conversation. It leads him to believe that she's falling for
Shinosuke?
Yeah, Shinosuke. And he runs off pouting. And I'm like, wow.
Well, Shinosuke shouldn't run off pouting. And he, Rama, yeah, I know. That was kind of out of character for Rama to be so upset because, you know, it really shows how he feels inside.
Yeah. And that's about where the first episode ends. They find out the springs are starting to go dry.
And now we'll talk about the second episode, but keep it more spoiler-free than the first.
Yeah, I will. They find out why it's coming. It's because of a mystical beast, and the mystical beast...
called Sexy Black Man. I'm going to edit that out.
It would have been better if you did.
Yeah, it probably would have been better. It's called Sexy Tanuki. Everybody wants the dog raccoon, and I'm saying it's all about the ringtail, yo.
It's actually called the Yamato...
Well, you can go to the Acer Radio website and listen to this episode at any time.
It's actually...
the episode with the sexy...
David, I'm talking here! Let me get through it!
Yes, DB3, Ma.
The monster's name is Yamato no Orochi.
Ah, the Orochi.
Yes, it's a seven-headed dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And they find out by... if they beat it, they could cure... a stupid... I can't remember his name again. Shinosuke.
Shinosuke, yeah.
Shinosuke, blast! And it's funny, the dragon only goes after girls, so when they show up, as they dress as girls, and it just beats the crap out of them.
Yeah.
So they can't beat it.
And we'll end the preview there.
Yes.
And talk a bit about the quality of the sound and the animation in these two episodes. I personally thought that the animation was pretty good. The OAVs all have a very similar look.
Yeah.
Not a lot of frames of animation necessarily, but it gets the job done. It's not like it's scant on frames of animation, it's just not fluid, you know. Of course, the curse of the OAVs continues, of the less... See, in the TV show, their flesh tone is much more reddish sort of pink.
Yeah.
And in these ones, they're much more peachish, if you will. Also, all the girls seem to be afflicted by a virus which has swollen their breasts out of proportion. Rather unfortunate, but...
And that's something you see in one of the next episodes that we haven't talked about yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But regardless, they had some pretty cool woodwind in this episode set. It's not too much really to comment about these particular episodes.
No.
They're pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
So what do you give it, DB3?
I give it a recommended. I laughed a lot during it, so it was quite
hilarious. I liked these episodes pretty well. They're not really that great for repeat viewing, though. The jokes I didn't find so much funny in this particular episode set, and the, what is it now? The emotional stuff, I don't know, it just kind of felt a bit forced. I don't know if that's the right word. But my main deterrent from giving this a better score would be that it's really kind of, unless you're into it, it's boring.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is, because it's just slow-paced, and it is, you know.
You know, the first episode on it was slow, but I liked the second one. It picked it up a lot, and...
Yeah, it's not horrible, it's a story that needs to be slow, and if you're not in the mood for a slow thing, it's just not going to fly.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. So what's your rating of it, NZ?
I'm going to give it a recommended.
Alright.
And now we've got the second volume, which I didn't like quite as much, but we'll let DB3 dwell into the specifics.
The first one, Team Ramna vs. Legendary Phoenix.
More or less, Kuno gets an egg, wants to beat Ramna, same old,
yeah.
You know. But the egg attaches to him, invincible Phoenix, Ramna can't get past it, but they find out that the bird, when it fully grows, flies away. However, this takes quite a long time, so they use some growth pills to speed this up. The bird gets larger and still sits atop Kuno's head, surprisingly not snapping his neck or smashing his spine. More or less, antics ensue with everybody trying to beat it, and... Well, eventually, things work out more or less for the best.
Well, this is probably one of my favorite episodes. I thought it was funny. Like, there was a part where he's the phoenix is flying with Kuno stuck to him, and he breaks apart a shower house, a bathhouse, and Ramna and one of the other people are jumping through the water and switching as they're going through the water, and it's just funny how the voices were switching with as they, I don't know, I liked it.
Yeah, that is one of the things I liked is in the early episodes of Ramna, they kind of had some mysticism about the transformation, you know, like
yeah.
they wouldn't show them when it happened, or they'd show someone pouring water on them, but not while it happened. And then in later episodes, they kind of made fun of this, where they'd just be jumping through water and instantly transforming or what have you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. And this one, I'm going to give it a recommended. It was, actually, we're reviewing these tapes the whole, so I'll reserve judgment until we talk about the second one.
The second one, Oh Cursed Tunnel of Lost Love, Let Me Be Forever. This, Shampoo and Yukio try and get Ramna and... Atane to a tunnel that breaks people up, and things don't go their way. And
that's the whole summary without spoiling anything, you know. I actually liked this episode better. I thought it was funnier than the first one. This episode you particularly have to have watched a good amount of Ramna One Half to know everything that's going on and the ties and alliances and how the dynamics between the characters work. All in all, I like this one better than the first one.
I'd probably have to go the other way around. I liked the first one a little bit more. Like, this one was alright, but I don't know. I was just a little bit more bored during it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give this volume as a whole a recommended. The first episode's kind of a neutral. The second one, kind of a recommended. So they more or less kind of meld into a recommendation.
Same thing for me, but reverse the episodes.
All right, and now we've got the final OAV set, which, these are pretty good episodes, all in all.
Yeah, the first one, Half No Fury, like the Sumi scorns. They find an ogre in a box that breaks out, and they go through the whole episode trying to capture it. It jumps into people, taking them over.
Yeah, possessing them.
Yeah, possessing them. Yeah.
So it was kind of funny seeing the different characters possessed, but they didn't dwell too much on individual characters.
Yeah.
So Kasumi gets possessed, and then, of course, Son Tendo, her father, doesn't want the other characters hitting her. You know,
yeah.
It's, you know,
that's how you
get his daughter.
Yeah. It's funny, like, when he jumps into them, they do evil things, and what she did as evil, she ordered food.
Yeah, instead of cooking it.
Yeah.
Pretty evil.
Yep.
I liked it when she was massaging her father's back by scraping her razor-sharp nails on his shoulders. Okay, and the second episode?
The two Akanes, Ramna, look at me. I don't have much to say about this one.
more or less, it's kind of like the second episode in a way. There's this evil ball, this hot springs that they all go to for no good reason. Ramna accidentally knocks it over, doesn't think anything about the curse, or perhaps doesn't even know about the curse. And there's a lot of fan service in this episode. He knocks down the doll, puts it back in a undignified pose, and the doll gets upset about this. Then it more or less goes and hypnotizes Akane, and then they switch bodies, and then she goes to seduce Ramna, because I guess that's what this evil spirit does.
It actually tries to kill him by seducing him.
Yeah, that should be mentioned. And of course, Shon and Genma are thrilled that their children are finally going to take steps towards being romantic and falling in love and what have you. This episode actually turns out pretty funny because it's kind of, how to put this, it's like Akane on her own doesn't act upon her feelings. And as such, when this possessed, when this evil doll, this evil spirit has possessed her body and is seducing Ramna while Akane is trapped in the doll's body, you know, she, in her own self-contained monologue, because the doll can't speak, is, you know, saying how she really feels and, like, how dare you go and do this and whatnot. But as the doll, as it were, is trying to kill Ramna because she's trying to seduce him to kill him because she figures that Akane feels, you know, deep emotion for him or whatnot, even though they don't show that on surface. Ramna then shows his feelings by acting towards her advances, but of course there's a gallery of peeping toms, we'll say, and so nothing really happens. And the doll keeps getting foiled in all her attempts to assassinate Ramna.
And that's about the episode.
Like, the other two, the animation quality more or less stays the same. This episodes that seem to be, I don't know, it's kind of a darker palette, kind of, you know, for the colors. And it was some good episodes, but nothing special. It was just kind of still milking the Romna cash machine, because that's what all these episodes more or less were. And so the second volume, I'm going to give it a recommended. I felt that the fifth volume was the weakest of the volumes. This last one kind of comes back pretty well, but all in all, I like the first three better. Your thoughts, DB3, and the rating for this tape?
For this tape, I'll give it probably a recommended. I have to agree with you about on the overall viewing of them all. I did laugh a lot during these last three cassettes, but the first three, I definitely laughed more.
Yeah, and on that note, I just want us to share a bit of opinions on the TV show versus the OAV. The TV show, I thought, is a lot better than the OAV. I've seen, you know, a number of episodes from that, unfortunately not quite enough, but, you know, Romna is one of those shows you watch until the creatives kind of get bored with the concept and such, just kind of goes, meh. But I like the TV show a lot better. I felt that the characters were, they felt more real to me, I guess. I mean, it's still comedy, still slapstick humor, but they felt a little more real. These episodes do more fleshing out emotional-wise, but it's kind of just rehashing what's been said more subtly before.
And I've only seen one episode of the TV series, so I really can't give a judgment, but, yeah, I can see how you can say that.
All right, well, coming up next, we have our favorite section of the show, the fan mail.
Fan mail, 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 fan mail!
All right, well, good news, bad news time. First, the bad news, we've got two of those. First of all, no fan mail this week. Very surprising. Actually,
no, it's not.
Like I said earlier, it's been bad. I haven't been putting up new episodes, and so no fan mail this week. That kind of sucks. The other bad news, it's been a boring show this one, you know? I mean, the Romna tapes were kind of boring, and the news was boring, and, I mean, the funny was, you know, it's hard and funny, but...
It was boring.
It was supposed to be boring, you know, and we're making fun of public radio. Crazy. So, we decided we need to kick up the energy a couple of notches here. Of course, the boringness probably stems from our speech deprivation. She always makes a good punching bag. Pull our audience into the fray here.
Oh, fantastic.
Your hair is very pretty today. I like the dual
ponytail
or is it pigtail?
Pigtail.
Oh.
Yes, it's very Romna-y, but not black.
But not black, no.
And two of them. Mm-hmm. You know what happens why he wears his hair in a pigtail?
Why?
It's actually a magical, I don't know, rubber band or tie or whatever it is, because his hair will grow uncontrollably otherwise. And eventually would kill him because draining all of the nutrients from his body.
Really?
There's something seriously wrong with this show.
Yeah, that's one of the later episodes where they just get whack job. how have you been enjoying the show so far?
It's not been as exciting as some of the other ones that I've been here for.
No.
But I did like the funny. I was trying to keep my mouth shut and not be laughing during
it. Oh, I appreciate that. Public radio generally doesn't have an audience.
So. In the background, ha ha!
Yeah, well, we'll be making up next week's funny instead of being this horrible, horrible, twisted tale of Digimon. It's going to be a parody of the popular song Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Oh, nice.
But it's going to be Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious instead.
Uh-huh.
And so it is going to be very fun. This funny was actually unscripted. We've been doing scripted ones for that couple of weeks, and I think this unscripted one
shows you why.
Yeah, well, you know, it was good. You know, we did good impromptu, but it just got kind of weird, you know. Anyhow, I hear rumors that we may be featuring the group that you play in of musicians.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, I'm being very generous with my terminology.
Group of musicians. Not much else.
So what can you tell us about you and your posse?
We are just barely formed, so we're still trying to...
Be a posse.
Be a posse and work together.
Do you have a formal name yet?
We do not have a formal name. I still want to be Half Eaten Chocolate Bar, but they're not going for it.
How about Slackiopia?
Slackiopia?
Yeah, it's like Slackers and tapioca put together, so it's Slackiopia. Slackiopia. I like that. Slackiopia.
I'll write that one down. And
I don't see you writing.
Yeah, you were writing down everything else.
Okay,
all right. Your little wolf man drawing.
What's
you know.
On my little... Okay, Slacky what?
Slackopia.
Make sure she's writing.
Like,
Slackopia.
Yeah, it's like tapioca.
There you go. It's right there with your Screech and Neville.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Anyhow,
oh boy.
It must have been a very interesting show so far, given that you've spent all of it working on your... man giving birth to a albino.
A
no, it's man giving birth to an albino wolf out of his shoulder. I looked at the
You're
drawing.
You're a horrible person.
Well,
it does not look like that.
It does not look like that. The wolf is in front of you.
IDB3, we all know that I'm a very trustworthy man. And
yes, very trustworthy, very honest.
Very honest, very courteous. I have to give Angie my 100% agreement with his opinion and the name of the photo, or drawing.
Man giving birth to albino wolf out of his shoulder.
Yes, that's
all
a
right.
very perfect description
yeah.
of the audience's drawing.
Yeah, you know, well, the thing is, you know, is this, it, most art more or less just says what it is.
Yes.
They're horrible with coming up titles. You know, I mean, books usually have pretty good titles,
yeah.
but
yeah.
art
okay.
is like boring titles.
It's standing in front of him. It's not coming out of his
You don't see anyone.
It's standing in front of him. It's almost sitting down, almost.
It is.
Actually, he looks really surprised.
It's
like,
there's
a giant rabbit over there. Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't think this is talking about this is making the show any more exciting.
It's making the show fabulous, darling. We're talking about...
My feelings are very, very hurt now.
Oh, well, let me help. The trees looked like the wolf and the guy were hungry and they ate the leaves and now the guy has a stomachache.
I did.
I'm a wonderful guy.
I did not want there to be leaves on the trees. It's supposed to be a somber painting, not man-eating
Well,
his birds.
Nipples are going to cut rice after this, man. He's going to etch his name in it by rubbing them on it. I mean, he's going to be cold. He's naked. I mean, why is he like, hey, wolf, stand in front of me, there's a breeze.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, but that's the name of it. Mouse dead is...
oh, boy.
There's a breeze.
Look, we're making up for the lackluster news, and, you know, we're filling up time here, you know. So
you didn't write any fan mail.
Go to the website. Be honest.
No,
see,
I didn't. I didn't.
Have you ever been to the website?
Yes.
How many times? Once?
Twice.
And have you ever listened to the show?
No, I have a small computer.
Well, you know, give it some special ed classes and let's go.
You know, before I came to the show and NZ and Z-Guy and T-Man were doing it, I used to go to the library and listen. Our local library has a good enough connection. You can get a pretty good listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's just...
Don't try to put it on a floppy disk, though.
Yeah.
Ain't gonna work.
Ain't gonna work.
Ain't gonna work.
Well, this episode, Mike, is...
touché, TV3, touché. But yeah, you know, it's just like, oh, give me a copy of this episode. Oh, I want to... You know, it's like, just go to the website. People copy it off of there all the time. You know, download it, or stream it, or...
Do whatever.
Decorate their rooms with it, I don't know, maybe
yeah.
people
you,
type
you
out...
You really think that they...
Yeah, I know
that.
That
would take a lot of
yeah,
work.
Yeah, somebody, I bet they transcribe the show and post it all over their
oh,
walls
right.
as posters.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of decorating a show, weirdly, there's this one guy I met in Florida. He decorated his living room
mm-hmm.
with old AOL free CDs.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy.
You do?
Yeah.
How do you know him?
Oh, well, I know another guy who does that. So there's two people in the world who do that.
He has so many, he's like, They're so, I didn't know there was that many different free AOL CDs.
Was it just CDs or was it floppies too? I mean,
just
how far
CDs.
Back you go?
I think it's since the very first CD.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
You know, posters are pretty cheap, you know. I have some nice anime wall scrolls or something.
You get him for Christmas.
Yeah.
A girlfriend. Well, BB3, since you bring up the subject and since you were missing for quite some time, tell us about your exciting adventures in the southern part of the U.S. of A.
It was
and the neighboring island.
And interesting. And I met lots of interesting people.
Any other quirky characters or stories you might be interested in on this episode?
Not really. I met this one kid in the Bahamas.
Okay.
I sent him to the show.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is cool. When it comes back up someday, you're going to have to listen to it.
Right, and?
And I don't know if he ever did. His email address he gave me to email him. Doesn't work. Blasted, stupid.
I hate that when email addresses expire. I've tried to track down several of our old fans, like Number One Otaku and Anthony Max Hernandez.
What about Dragon777?
Yeah, I almost completely forgot about him. I know that he's probably still part of the Slacker Salt Lake Anime Club, so...
Remember when we met him when we went to...
Oh, I remember when we met him at Nandesh.
That was...
It was dressed as Vampire Hunter D.
Yes.
Oh, look, I watch anime.
Except when he was dressed as Vampire Hunter D, it was like right after Bloodlust had come out.
Oh. Yeah.
You're a bit late to the party.
Oh.
But, you know, props.
Yes, but I did watch him anyway. But did he have, like, the talking hand thing going on?
He went, yes, my name is D's Hand, and I like to eat buddies.
For you who can't see, NZ is using his hand to talk to the audience.
Yes, the thumb is the lower jaw.
I was just thinking, how in the world? That's not funny to anyone who's listening.
All right, I think we're just rambling on now.
Oh, we are. It's cool. Anyways, you know, I sometimes wonder in my wild brain of mine. Now, we've all seen Inuyasha, right? We've all seen Inuyasha, except for ignorant audience. And we've all seen Vampire Hunter D, you know, either the older or the new.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the priest, what's the priest's name? Well, that's his name on Ace of Radio, Inuyasha, the priest.
I don't remember the priest's name.
It's not Kimura. I don't remember either, but my point was, is that you wonder if...
You know, that's not one of the anime I watch a lot, so...
Yeah, well, what I was getting at is I wonder if their hands make out. You know, seriously.
That is nice.
I just kind of wonder that, you know.
They cross worlds, they
cross
times.
Both have, like, this huge suction thing going on.
Right.
And you wonder if they were what they, you know, like, they put their hands together. Would it go and, like, suck all the crap out of the one and the other? Or would it neutralize each other?
You know, that's not even something I want to think about, NG.
Yeah.
Okay, we've had a lot of those things in this
episode.
Really erotic, actually. Moving along. So I've heard DB3 has mad Rubik's Cube solving skills.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's something interesting I heard on the news today.
Mm-hmm.
The author for the Harry Potter books has finished the sixth book.
Okay, and this deals with Rubik's Cubes now?
It doesn't. I was just wanting to change the subject because Rubik's Cubes are even more boring than what we've been talking about.
No. This is enlightening. It's like the behind-the-scenes commentary.
To do with anime?
What does the Rubik's Cube have to do with anime?
Hey, it's got everything to do with anime because, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very special feature we're having this episode. DB3 is going to show us all how to solve the Rubik's Cube, and you're going to go and listen to it live. DB3, show these people how it is done.
Mark, set, go. First, you turn that left, and then right, and that left.
Be sure they can hear it.
Sorry. I'll put a little closer to the mic.
All right, look at him go. It's like crazy, man.
Like
a pro. A little slip up, but
still
good.
That's a problem right there. I'm not sure how I'm going to fix that. I'm going to have to go around like this, maybe.
I think they can't believe their eyes.
Or their ears,
for
that matter of fact.
Can I make a comment?
No.
I think you shouldn't.
We don't need more
people. We're making history here by being the first radio show ever to air the solution to the Rubik's Cube.
No, I want
to
make a comment, though.
No one cares about your comment.
It has to be about France.
I don't think Francis is pathetic. Is this ready? Whoa! He
No, he didn't.
Yes,
he
I did. No, I solved it. Oh, I don't know how to fix that mess up. Unless I start all over.
Well, we got time. We got to fill out this episode.
No.
Our audience is listening for the solution. You got to do it, DVP. We'll talk about how you liked Hanadori Yoshi that we just watched.
It was dark, but not. It was weird.
Yeah, I like the series, but I think it's too old at this point to ever make it over here. It looked like it was like 70s that it was done. It's about the 50s in Japan.
Yeah.
When the class segregation was even more than it is today. But it's a very interesting show. I've watched about 8 episodes so far.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, our audience in DB3 came in on episode 9, and so it didn't make quite as much sense, but it's a very good series for, I like some shoujo, and this is one of those that definitely fits the bill.
Yeah.
What did you think of the brief bit that you saw? Not so much of the bit itself, but the general impressions that the show left upon you.
I think that just like the, 10 minutes that I saw of it?
Yeah, that's about right.
It would have to be really careful not to get too briefy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really dark, like, kind of angsty.
Like all the character designs are pretty cute, pretty nice, lots of bright colors, faded colors, make it feel like, adult. But, yes, the content is rather serious.
It was really
serious. Rather heavy. Kind of like our funny, but without the, cute girls.
Depressed, beaten up Digimon, that's bad.
Yeah, well,
are you making fun of me now?
No.
Good, because we're making fun of James.
Yeah, oh, James.
Poor guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's a pathetic little Digimon king.
He was the one that changed the Digimon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, his middle name's Randy. James Randy Sands.
Poor Mr. Sands. Yeah, but he's a beach. I noticed that while you were doing the funny, the first thing I was doing.
Well, Sands is the son of a beach.
Sorry.
Wow.
That was
good.
Very something.
Yeah, very something.
The son of a beach.
Yeah, son of a beach.
Wow.
Well, that sort of humor is just ingrained in me.
Lucky you.
You know, if anyone's still lasting through this episode, through all of this,
they're not listening anymore.
They'll be a fan forever.
Yeah. If they lasted this long, and cut out that horrible joke earlier that I made, I'm sure it's pretty dedicated.
I mean,
this is our freeform section, man. It's like, whose line is it anyway, but
not funny.
Not so structured and
not funny.
Funny.
Not funny.
It's funny, it's just pacing itself.
He's doing a Rubik's Cube for the audience.
Oh, that's hilarious. I think it's funny. I mean, they might not think it's funny,
it's
but
like
I mean,
Andy Kaufman humor.
Oh, I don't know. Andy Kaufman humor is a little different than doing a Rubik's Cube. Maybe Mark Twain humor.
Mark Twain humor.
Yeah, man. One time he went and he stood in front of this audience that had come to see him, and they made a big deal out of it because he would do a lot of speaking, people would come and see him, kind of like a stand-up comedian, I guess you could think. And this one time he went, you know what? Let's just see if this works, right? And he gets up on stage, he just stands there, doesn't say anything. Is that amazing or what, ladies and gentlemen?
That is awesome.
DB3 has the mad skills.
Yeah, the mad skills is like the world champion. Oh, wait, I don't have those kind of mad skills.
Well, you could if it was, not messed up when it was. I mean, messed up, granted, not well, solved already. But not messed up in a pattern that you didn't know how to approach appropriately.
Yeah.
Anyways, like I was saying, so he got up on the stage and just stood there completely silent. Didn't say anything. More or less, just kept to himself, just standing there. The audience is sitting there, expecting something to happen. 5 minutes go by, 10 minutes go by, 15 minutes go by. He's still standing there, everybody's silent, they're all anxious, and then somebody starts to laugh. And then everybody just breaks out laughing, and it's just absolutely brilliant. Mark Twain, he's just... You gotta look up to a guy like him, and so that made him feel good that his experiment panned out like he thought it would.
This might be the longest fan mail section you've ever had.
Oh, you weren't on the show and Anthony Max Hernandez sent in fan mail BB3, so, regardless of that fact, though, we probably ought to move the subject back to anime, like that sports anime where they were all solving Rubik's Cubes. That was pretty sweet.
Yes.
Alright, but seriously, exciting. Seriously, next week, we're going to be reviewing Metal Fighters Miku, and we're going
to... And trust us, it will be a lot more exciting than this episode has been and will be.
Yes. Yes, the episode isn't over yet, and the fun has just not begun. we're going to give you some brief impressions of...
Impressions?
Not those sort of impressions. Of Metal Fighters Miku. What have you thought of this series so far from what you've seen, DB3?
So far, I've actually liked it. It's a good show that deserves warrant for everyone to watch, as far as I can tell.
And I've seen the series before. Just watched, what was it, the first episode that we watched last time?
Yeah, that would have been all it was.
So we've got the first episode all done up, and it's a very good series. The first episode's kind of... doesn't feel a lot like the other episodes, but it sets up the rest of the series well. It's a very cute series, but it's a sports series at the same time, and I think that works well.
Gorilla wrestlers, how can you not like it?
In metal armor, yes. Nonetheless, that enhances their abilities.
Yes.
It would be better if they were naked.
No, because it really wouldn't work out well, because you haven't seen the show, but...
I think our audience is having a problem this week.
Yeah, I know. It's like, broody.
Having a perversion problem.
Perversion problem, yeah. It's like, see, I have a theory, DB3. You ready to hear my crackpot hypothesis?
I'm all ears.
And just for those audience members out there that aren't our audience, quote-unquote, just caution here, this may seem sexist, but... I think I feel safe treading on these waters. And there's some research to back this up, so don't blame me. Okay, so here's my theory, okay? My theory is that every month, okay, well, we all know what happens every month. there is the menstrual cycle.
We go from
anime
to girls.
Wow, that's like Rubik's
Cube. Don't get me stuck on metaphors, man, or I go crazy on the cube. And George Lucas, he hates his mother. George Lucas, he does. Death Star, giant breast. Anyways, here's where I'm going with this, okay? Now, my theory is that opposing the standard quote-unquote period is a heightened sense of randiness.
Yeah.
Okay? And so, more or less...
Randiness
is British slang for horniness, which is American slang for wanting to knock one's boots, which is Australian slang for wanting to get it on, which is American slang for me horny.
Yes, we know.
Yeah.
Me horny, right. And that
we know you are. Oh, I'm sorry. Just kidding. But you were saying.
That is true. Like, they have, like, discussion forums that girls get on, and, like, they're like, anyone else have this problem? And they're like, yeah.
Okay. Well, my theory doesn't end there, though. I theorize, okay, and this, like I said, crazy crackpot hypothesis here. Men have a period, too.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not saying a period as in, like, physically, but I'm saying emotionally, okay?
Yeah.
Guys turn into assholes, pardon my French here. You know, I'm going to have to lay off the French this week, but, I'll make up for next week by making fun... Oh, wait, we did Germans last week.
We did.
Oh, we can't do Polish, because that's sensitive.
Yeah.
We'll make fun of... You know what? We'll make fun of... not Vietnamese.
We can make fun of T-Guy and Z-Man.
Oh, I was actually tying into Z-Man by making fun of Venezuelans. See?
Oh.
I don't think we're going to offend anyone.
Isn't
it
Z-Guy
and
Z-Man?
No, he has become a man. It's going down there. Seriously, though, my theory is that every month, in a monthly thing, is that guys will become emotional during a certain period, right? And they'll become, like, jerks, or they'll become, you know, just easy to be hurt, or, you know, what have you.
Yeah.
General gamut of emotions. And, but, here's the break point here. Guys are always randy. Yeah, see, but they get super randy on that offset, you see? That's my theory.
Oh, I guess I can agree with that.
And on that note, I really...
Wow.
Yeah, well, I really think that people need to send in fan mail. Because this is what happens when they don't. Is I talk about things. And I think a lot, and that leads to dangerous thoughts.
You know, we still have a video game review we can move on to.
Oh, I know. That's why we're moving on to the hot spot.
Oh, baby, a hot spot.
So, I hear, DB3, that our audience is a jerk. Audience, how do you comment on this rumor?
I'm a what?
A jerk. As in somebody that is mean, that says what they think
before
without really caring about the consequences. In other words, you're kind of like me. How do you take this? Sans the beard, because I'm assuming
I don't
shave.
Yeah. All right,
let me shave your face. I mean, I assume you do shave, like, you know,
other things,
female hair.
We're not going back there. We're not.
Show us your hairy legs.
No!
Oh, so you admit your legs are hairy?
I have to answer your question.
Oh, okay. I forgot what it was. Could you recap for us?
Am I a jerk?
Right.
I learned it from watching you! Yes,
I'm an inside joke. Yeah, well, screw you guys. I'm going home. That's an inside joke, too. Y'all, you like that? Okay, I'm sorry.
It's your turn, DB3.
I promise.
All right. Yeah. My opinion is that we move on to this is video game review.
Yes, I apologize for going off. It was like our horde fan mail section, and really, send in fan mail, people. It's the only way you can end this madness. But we
because we know the fans make the show.
The fans make the show.
And you see what happens
when we make the show. briefly, though, you have to do an impression now, DB3. Because the audience has done an impression, I've done an impression, the Pope has done an impression, and, you know, it's hard to understand him, so now it's your turn.
Alright, let me think of an impression I can do. Pikachu! I choose you!
That don't sound like Ash at all.
That was bad.
It's because it's supposed to be Gary. Come on!
I never seen Gary with a Pikachu. As a matter of fact, I think, crazy theory time again, folks. The Ash... Or Pikachu, slaughtered all the rest of his species. Because do you ever see other Pikachu?
Yes.
In
yes.
Well, that shows how much I care. All right, let's move on to video game review.
All right, this week on a video game review, we have Dragon Ball Z 2, Goku's Legacy. It's a pretty good RPG. You're starting off as Gohan, right as, if you're familiar with the Dragon Ball Z show, as the... Trunks Saga is about to start.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off with Gohan needing to go get some homework, and it goes from there. You go...
Tanuki Nuki. Sorry, I just had to throw that out.
It's a decent game. It's been a little bit since I played it, but...
How are the graphics? Well, are they, like, Super Nintendo graphics?
Yeah, it's about, like, Super Nintendo... about middle of the stage Super Nintendo graphics. It's not as good as things like... Chrono Trigger or something, but it's decent. I can't complain. The game, you get more characters. You can become Trunks, Vegeta, Piccolo, Goku.
Can you switch off at any point?
You can't switch off at, like, they have the save points at the same points. You can either save or switch characters. They learn different attacks. You get to fight the different androids. You can fight Cell. But that's the last guy you fight is Cell.
Now, do the battles play out like a turn-based RPG, an action RPG?
It's like an action RPG. Whoever swings first, who attacks first. Yeah. It has side quests.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one where you have to find all the different Namek so they can go to new Namek. When you get there, you get to fight Cooler, Freezer's, and King Cole's son. Another side quest is you find golden capsules. I still haven't found all those. I have one left, but I'm just not so excited about the game anymore.
You know, that's the thing about Dragon Ball Z is it's next to impossible to really make good fun of it because it's already ludicrous as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, if it took itself, like, super serious and all, it would be one thing, but with names like that, you know?
Something cool, you can be Hercule. As a playable character. That's probably the funnest part.
Yeah, that sounds like the first game where you could play as Urkel.
Oh.
Hercule, not Urkel. Oh.
Yeah, it's funny.
You
take him to Master Roshi's Island, and he's like, I'm not teaching you anything, you're a weakling. And he is. He more or less sucks, and he is a weakling.
Now, for those less familiar with Dragon Ball Z, which is this character?
Hercule is the guy who, in the episodes, takes credit for beating Cell in the Cell games.
That's right.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes. That's...
And how about the music? Is it the same as the series?
I didn't get to listen to the music much, because the volume on my Game Boy Advance isn't working.
No.
So, I can't tell you much about the music.
So that can't really affect the rating, then.
Yeah, it won't affect it too much.
So does it control well, though?
It
spoke of the gameplay, but does the control feel good?
It actually does feel pretty good. Like, there's points in the game where you can fly around the different places, and that's sort of fun. I'd have to say the control's pretty good. One of the benefits I did like, you get a camera or something. You can take pictures of all the different monsters and go back to some place and just look at all the different features, people you fought.
And which planet does this game take place on?
Earth. It takes place on Earth. I was trying to think, is there a planet for Dragon Ball Z?
Well, they go to all sorts of different planets.
Yeah, that's why I had to stop and think for a second.
How about you go ahead and, is there any other comments, or are you going to give us the score?
I'll just give you the score.
Alright.
I'll have to give this, if you like Dragon Ball Z, I recommend it. If you like RPGs, it's a decent one. So I'd have to say recommend it overall, but not too highly recommended. It's just a bottom of the line, almost neutral. If you like Dragon Ball Z, though, I definitely suggest it for you.
No, you got it straight from the DB3's mouth. Dragon Ball Z, Goku's Legacy, which is the second game in the Game Boy Advance series, comes as a recommended. I've got a brilliant idea,
DB3.
People need to send in fan mail. They need to do it, and they need to do it in massive quantities.
Yes.
And I'm not talking all at once. I mean gradually over time. We need to have at least like one or two fan mails a week.
Yes.
Because if this episode is any indication, freestyling is not exactly a good thing to do on the show.
Heck no.
And in that spirit, let's recap here. We've got our first segment was about, we'll say, 9 minutes long. The second bit was about 2 minutes. Well, we'll say 10 minutes overall. And then we've got another 7 coming at you, bringing the total closer to 20. Then we've got about 40 minutes with our next segment. Then the fan mail went on forever. Made that about, I'd say about 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Now. Then we did our video game review, which was only like 6.5 minutes.
Well, what can you say about Dragon Ball Z? It's just not...
There's only one thing you can say about Dragon Ball Z. Kamehameha!
Oh, boy.
So, in that spirit, we turn to our audience once again. And, audience, now, you've seen a good amount of anime, courtesy of us.
What? Courtesy of you,
yes.
Yes,
that's
overall,
what I'm saying. If you haven't seen a lot of anime, but we've let you borrow, relatively, for a single person's collection, a lot of anime.
Yes.
And most people that watch anime happen to come across a couple of series, or more or less staples of the, you know, genre, if you will.
Yeah.
So my question to you, as an educated female viewer who has no friends of the same gender.
Right. This is true.
What do you think of Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, and Dragon Ball GT?
I really, really liked it when I was 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I recorded every single episode, and I could not wait to get home from school because it came on at like 3 o'clock.
You know, that reminds me of me, myself and Z-Guy when we were younger.
No, yes. Both were very into the show.
Had to come home.
I always hated it, but yeah.
Yeah, watch the show, find out what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
It was always, I loved Dragon Ball Z, and now I can't stand it. I really cannot stand it.
Well, are you ready for my crazy crackpot hypothesis on Dragon Ball Z?
Yes.
Ah, yes. Well, I don't have one. I just have a brief summary. two words. Wait, no. Okay. Four words can describe Dragon Ball Z in its entirety. I kind of like Dragon Ball, the original show.
Yeah, I like this.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But Dragon Ball Z and GT, because GT is more or less like a crappy version of Z, which is saying something, can be summed up in four words. Soap opera for boys. Seriously, that's what it is. It's just a soap opera for boys, right?
Yes.
They're too young to think like, Goku should be hitting on blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's next to no real actual female characters in the show. There's a couple, you know. But even when there are, they're not like the strong fighter type, except one, and she was like a cyborg or some crap, right? Android something or other.
Until you get into later.
See? And so it's like, before that point, there's only one relief for their frustrations for boys. Beating the crap out of things. Themselves, friends, enemies, toys, that's it. And so Dragon Ball, everybody that's in that certain age range just can relate to it.
Yes.
Except for me, because I've just always been a prude. So, that's just the way of the world.
Yeah.
Okay, well then...
I have one more thing to ask of the audience.
Yes.
Tell our listening audience how much we need our fandom.
Yeah. Really, really bad. We were talking about periods and Rubik's Cubes. Okay?
You know, both of them have red.
That's disgusting. That's wrong.
It is not as wrong as tampon commercials. I hate those. Especially that one with the little red period.
Let's let the audience get back to her showing the audience about how much we need to get that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that we don't go off on tampons, just for the
tangents, not tampons. Tangents. I know the words are similar, tangents, but they're not the same.
Tangents, right? We really need to, or you really need to fan mail.
Well, you know, I figured the show is just kind of short and boring. I had to liven it up a little bit.
For the sake of me, the audience, who has to sit here and listen and not do anything,
who's only here half the time,
please send in fan mail.
All right.
I'm
now, I'm glad you asked that question, DB3. Sorry.
It's right.
I'm glad you asked that question because it was a leading question. And the question it leads into is, then why didn't you send any fan mail in, huh? Huh? You're so busy with your music and your drawings and your armor and your prostitution that you can't go. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant pro-substitution. She's a teacher.
I am not a teacher. Oh, okay.
You've taught me the ways of kinkiness.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Not with you and the leather and the furries.
Well, that's a whole other radio show. That's a different radio show. We don't want to...
All of a sudden, got to change the subject when you're the focus, eh?
Well, I don't want those two to mix. And DB3 is not even supposed to know about
it. It would only degrade the show. Which is why, apparently, we did it this show. It's really contradictive, apparently. So, anyways, why can't you send us fan mail? Are you like our listening audience that absolutely hates us and only loves us to listen to our show, and that's it? They just use us like a rag, and once it's soiled and worthless, toss us aside like so.
Are we talking about periods
again? No.
Okay.
We're talking about used condoms. Toss us aside like so many crumpled up foil wrappers.
Yes. I mean, no.
The right answer is no. They just have been too busy to send in fan mail, just as I've been too busy to post episodes.
You just tell me exactly how to send in fan mail and let your listeners tell you exactly how to send the fan mail so that we can all just send it in right now, this very second.
Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm not going to tell them. I've already gotten into enough hot water this episode with all of my push-button topics. So DB3 is going to tell them how to send fan mail to the show.
All you have to do is go to the ASO Radio homepage, and they have a fan mail little sidebar click. That you click on, it takes you to the fan mail part of the page, where all you have to do is type in your little message, type in your name and the subject, and then you have to do is hit the send the mail. And then, voila, we get the mail, and our show's not as red letters, red lines, as this episode has been.
Boy, DB3, that sounds remarkably easy, as though anyone could do this in this streamlined process. Is it as easy as it sounds?
It's probably even easier.
Wow, that's incredible. And how much does this function cost?
Absolutely nothing.
How can you afford to give away such a great feature for free?
Because the fans make the show.
The fans make the show. They're volunteer work by submitting fan mail, fan art, and putting their own unlicensed music on the show is what goes and makes us available to give out this awesome free fan mail submission function?
Yes!
That is incredible. You know, I hear that the website and the show will both fold unless people buy merchandise and actually give us reasons to continue to produce it.
Well, that's true, too. But without the fans sending the mail, they won't want to listen to us.
Very true.
To make those donations and contributions.
I'm hoping that this episode tanks because I don't think I want to produce more episodes like this. I don't want people going to... That episode 63 was the raw score. I want you to go more on about how much anime on TV sucks and how chicks are different from dudes.
You mean episode 64.
Yeah, that's, what did I say?
63.
Ah, well, they like 63 apparently, but they were delusional at
You'll
the time.
You'll have to have a new episode
64
section.
64B. Yeah, it's in the dark section of the show. With the golf kids hanging out around the lunch benches.
Well,
I think it's time to wrap up this episode. I think at this rate, season 5 is going to be the last season. So, send in the fan mail. I don't think I mentioned that yet on the show. Send in fan art of our lovely bandy or miscellaneous anime or video game characters. And live long and prosper, and of course, be sure to purchase our compilation CDs and our clothing and other merchandise.
Yes.
Anything you'd like to add, DV3, your audience?
We want to hear your guys' input. We love you. Okay.
Oh yeah, and send us free anime. If you have some anime laying around and it's like, boy, they really should review this, send it to us.
Yeah, and if you think that our show's not good enough, send us donations so we can make it better.
Or send us fan, quote-unquote, fan mail and tell us how much we suck and how we should improve. Because really, we're desperate.
Especially this episode.
We're big in here. So anyway, for episode 64 of Slack Off Radio, this is... episode 64 of ASO Radio, this is NV17...
And DB3.
Hoping for a better episode next week. And signing out.